Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation that is found in the front of your bulletin. May I ask you please to select your registers that are at the end of the pews and sign your name and look at the folks as it goes up and down the pews so that you will know who's sitting with you and greet them, please. We had no newsletter this last week, and there is one major announcement, and it is in the bulletin. So I just want to call your attention to it. It's at the very bottom of the opening inside page, and notice that the fishing has been rescheduled. The fishing at the Crooks House will take place this Wednesday. You can see the details there. The fish got very wet last Wednesday, and so that the folks wouldn't get wet, it got canceled. So we hope that you'll make it to the Crooks House to go fishing on Wednesday. We also would like to ask you to remember our people, youth and adults, who are in Bamberg for the Salkehatchie camp this week. Please keep them in your prayers. Now, let us continue our worship as we center our hearts and minds to continue our service of worship.
Please rise and join me for the call to worship. Blessed be the God and parent of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for every spiritual blessing. May the glory of God be known in this place. May God's peace dwell in this and every land. Who shall ascend the hill to reach for God? Who shall stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, those who are not false or deceitful. God speaks peace to those who are faithful. Lift up your heads and your hearts to God.
We have come to hear Please be seated. And I invite you to join me in the invocation. Ruler of all worlds, whose glory surrounds our unseeing eyes, our muffled hearing, and our dulled emotions, come to awaken us to the mystery of your will. Speak to us a word of truth that reveals our deceit and leads us away from falsehood. Touch us with healing grace that allows us to admit our woundedness and accept the comfort you offer. Let your Spirit move among us so we may recognize your presence in one another and in our own lives. May our response to you be faithful and our praise genuine. Amen.
The epistle reading is from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verses 3 through 14. You can find this on page 234 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Here the writer praises God for the recipient's salvation as part of God's eternal plan through Jesus Christ. Listen now for God's word to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson is from the sixth chapter of Mark, verses 14 through 29. You can find this passage on pages 49 and 50 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. In this passage, when people begin to say that Jesus is John the Baptizer raised from the dead, Herod recalls John the Baptist's beheading. Listen again for God's word to us. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
thank all of you, the entire Shell Duo Sunday School class. That is wonderful. And today during lunch at about 12:10 on 103.5, you can hear it again on your radio while you eat lunch. It's time for us to have a little talk with Jesus. It is our prayer time, and I want to lift up a few special concerns. From this past week, some still in the hospital, some out, but Clyde Guerin, Bruce Sigmund, Hack Robinson, Betty Oliver from Wesley Commons had some surgery on Friday, and our acolyte today, Jay Logan, has decided he's had his tonsils long enough, and tomorrow he's going to get rid of them. So let us have him put him also in our prayer list, and Hazel Bennett home recovering from her shoulder surgery. Now let's go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, for your love and redemption, for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your presence and your Holy Spirit today, we have come to praise you. Give us a spirit of praise. We pray that you come and bind us closer together in this church, in our Sunday schools, in our small groups, and as we worship together, and also in our homes and neighborhoods. May we be so aware and so kindly and lovingly disposed to one another that we rejoice with one another's joys, weep with one another's sorrows, and that we are able through your Spirit to give support not only to friends and family, but also to those at work and at school and those around us we don't even know by name. We pray also for you to give us your help and wisdom to live in our love and faith for you in such a way that others see the light of Christ in us, that we reveal and we witness through the way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we use our time and talents and our money. Come, Lord, to all who need your compassionate love and care. Comfort and heal all who are in sorrow and need and sickness or in any other trouble. And be with all people, Lord, who need your love and strength. And guide us to be your hands, to be your hearts, that we go forth in your name to comfort them. Come, Spirit, that all may be one in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And to you, the source of all true unity, who is with us today, we give you praise, and we come before you seeking your guidance. Lord, we also do pray for wisdom for the political leaders of our state and nation and world, for those in authority in every place. Guide us all to your will of justice and peace, that we might live and work together. And now we pray our private prayers for each other and our private concerns, and also for those who are in hospital, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We lift up these prayers in silence in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before our offering, which is indeed an act of worship, I want to update on the back of your bulletin. You'll see that the balance due for the principal payment for the capital campaign, when the bulletin was printed, was $60,000. We sent out a special alert that we were getting this close to the July 15th payment, and it now stands today at $46,000. We do thank you for your response, your generosity, your sacrificial giving. It is possible that we may make it $46,000 between now and, well, I guess we would need that on Tuesday. It is possible. All things are possible, and we hope that we will. But I want to let you know where we stand today, $46,000 for that principal payment. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto each of us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Y'all come on over a little bit closer. Come up a little bit closer. I want to ask you a question, a very important question. Have any of you ever felt so happy that you wanted to get up and dance? Have you ever felt so happy that you just jumped up and maybe jumped up and down and kind of did a little dance? Anybody? Anybody besides me? Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you feel so happy because maybe... Oh, you really were happy, Griffin. He jumped on top of the car, he said. Maybe it was your birthday and you woke up and you thought, oh boy, it's my birthday, my special day, and I am so happy. Or maybe you found out that your grandparents were coming to visit, maybe from out of town. And, oh, that just made you feel so happy inside. Or maybe you just found out that you and your family were going to get to go on a neat vacation, and you were so excited. Okay, well, I want you to know that that same kind of excitement and that desire to dance happened to David in the Bible. Remember, David was the little boy that you probably have learned about in Sunday school. I'm sure you have. The little boy who went up against the big giant Goliath, and he only had a slingshot and a few small stones, and he went up all by himself against that big giant, and God knew his heart. He knew he had a heart for God. He wanted to serve God. Well, that David, that little boy, grew up, and he became king of Israel. And on this particular day, the day that I'm talking about, when he got so excited, he wanted to dance, and he did dance. He had gathered 30,000 men from Israel, and they had gone together to find the Ark of the Covenant and return it to Israel. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a real treasure to Israel. In fact, it looked like maybe a treasure box. You know what a treasure box looks like? Yes. And inside that Ark of the Covenant were the promises that God had made to his people, that he would always be with them, and that kind of reminded them that he loved them and he would always be with them. Well, they got the Ark of the Covenant, and they were taking it back, walking it back to Jerusalem. And David was so overjoyed, he could not help but dance and sing, and they even played some musical instruments. There were tambourines and harps and trumpets and probably a lot of other musical instruments as well. But they were so overjoyed and happy because they were returning the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle where it belonged. In a little while, I'm going to pass out some instruments for you to play. And I want you to dance all the way down the aisle and around and over to the door where you will go to extended session. Will you do that for me? I want you to think of something that makes you really happy. Like, being here in this beautiful sanctuary, worshiping God with your friends. Doesn't that make you excited and happy? I hope. I want to see some really good dancing going down the aisle, okay? All right. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the many happy times we have in our lives. And we thank you that you are with us, whether we are happy or whether we are sad. But we do especially thank you for those moments when we're so excited, when we get to play with a puppy, or when we get to eat all the ice cream we want, or when we get to have a special time with our mom or dad before going to bed. We just thank you for all those joyful times in life. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
While they are passing out the instruments, it is going to be time that we pass the peace. And as they make a joyful noise together, do remember, this is not a library. This is the sanctuary of the living God. So, okay. There is tremendous power when we affirm together our faith through the Apostles' Creed. Not only shall we together say these words, let us listen to ourselves corporately say the words of faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We reversed the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading today because I will be preaching from the Old Testament reading, 2 Samuel, and I will begin with chapter 6, verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, David's wife, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, his wife, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel. The people of the Lord that I have... over the house of Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in my own eyes for God. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, it is sort of a funny thing about being a preacher. When a politician is in his last year, you know, he's called a lame duck or she's called a lame duck, and they don't get very much done, can't do very much, can't even get a reporter to listen to a speech. But a preacher in his last year actually gains power and boldness, as you will see, because I have never, ever even thought about preaching from this text where King David strips down to a loincloth and dances before the Lord. It's just something I thought, maybe they won't like that. But I'm moving. Next June, so I mean, I can be bolder. Scripture says King David danced before the Lord with all his might. My question to all of us today is, when is the last time you did anything with all your might, much less worship? One of my least favorite quotes from a Main Street church member, I will not name names, is, "There's no sleep like church sleep." I heard that. I heard that. I thought, yikes! Contrast a king who unashamedly, enthusiastically, unconcerned for what anybody thinks, even his own wife, dances before the Lord with all his might stripped to a loincloth. Contrast that with, "There's no sleep like church sleep." Frederick Buechner said this about this event. He said, how they cut loose together. David and God were whirling around before the ark in such a passion that they caught fire from each other and blazed up in a single flame of magnificence. Wow. Passion. With all your might, enthusiasm, worship. Now we might think of some of those words about a football game, or the Final Four when Duke is playing UNC, or full contact mixed martial arts for some of you young folks. You love that and you get enthusiastic about that. But worship, enthusiasm, we kind of think of those things as on two floors from each other in a different building. They don't go together. But enthusiasm, the word itself originally meant in God. Enthusiasm, entheos, it meant in God, filled with God. I saw a comic strip once and it showed two ministers sitting together in the stands at a football game, and they were surrounded by a crowd of screaming fans. And one minister said to the other, he said, I really hate football, but I love to be somewhere where people are excited about something. Church, worship, is supposed to be a place and a time where we gather to share and to show that we are a people excited about something, or rather, excited about someone. We are to be a joyous people. A spirit of celebration should pervade all that we do if we let it. And this is why we gather each Sunday, to celebrate. And that's what worship is. I have a quote that worship is the interruption of work to celebrate. And what are we celebrating? Let me make that very, very plain. God loves you. You know you don't deserve the kind of love that God has for you. Just like David, who had problem after problem and failing after failing, as imperfect and sinful a man as you'll ever find, like you and me. And if we had the power that David had and the authority he had, we might sin just as boldly as he did. And yet, he had a heart for God. He knew that God was real, that God was present, and that God loved him in spite of his failings and sins. And David trusted that God's love was greater than his sin. So David lived with passion. David was moved to throw decorum aside and dance with God as if nobody was present. David fulfilled the ancient command that Jesus later echoed. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus didn't make that up. That's throughout the Old Testament and the Gospels, but Jesus did bring it up and underline it. All your heart and soul and mind and strength. When was the last time you did anything with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? David was passionately, enthusiastically leading the people in celebrating the God who has allowed himself to be found. And why shouldn't they celebrate? In the previous chapter, we see how God had given them victory over the Philistines, and how God had unified the 12 tribes under David and given David the city of Jerusalem, and now he has the Ark of the Covenant, the very symbol of the presence of God, and he's bringing it to the holy city. If ever there was a time for celebration, it was this day. And David got lost in this dance of worship, but his wife, Michal, she may have been a Methodist, I don't know. She absolutely hates it. She's disgusted at David. She looks out the window and sees this awkward, undignified hopping around, and she's embarrassed. She thinks it's inappropriate. Or as my aunt Dorothy used to say, the very idea. In verse 16, it says she despises him in her heart. And she got really sarcastic and snippy and said, how the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of the servants' maids like any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself. The New Living Bible says, like a dirty old man. Who are we more like? Are we more like King David or Michal? We won't take a vote on that. You have heard the acronym, many of you have, NIMBY. NIMBY, it means not in, you know, good idea, but not in my backyard. Not in my backyard. Well, preachers hear something like NIMS, not in my sanctuary. You know, it's a good idea for you, but not in my sanctuary. When Caroline and I went several years ago on a mission trip to Zimbabwe, we experienced a worship tradition in Africa in which a little section, like maybe the front row here, a little section of the sanctuary would get up during the offering time, and they would have their own song that they agreed on or made up, and their own dance that they danced together to bring their offering. And after bringing the offering, they would dance and sing their way back with their gifts of money. And by the way, when they got, after they were on their way back, someone up front would count out how much that particular section had brought forward and announce it. And they would keep doing that round and round and round until they got enough. Well, when it came our time, the Omvim team that was there in the middle of that service, we had to quickly say, you know, what do you know the words to? What do you know the words to? You know, what can we sing? And then our dance was more or less what I call the bear dance, and that's sort of like shuffle, shuffle, shuffle to the right, then shuffle, shuffle, shuffle to the left. You know, that was our dance. Never felt so white. But anyway, we don't even know how much money we gave because we went to South Africa, to Zambia, to Zimbabwe. Their currency was in free fall. We don't know if we gave enough to buy a new church or a Big Mac and a Coke. We don't know. But we gave what we had. And I remember how odd it is to have movement and feeling and people looking at me in a worship service. Because we don't do that. But I want you to think about one more thing about this. This is not really about the money, but the offering in that context was what it was supposed to be. It was not about paying bills primarily. It was celebration. It was liberation. Lord, I trust you more than this money. I trust you that I'm going to live even though I don't have this money. Take my sacrificial gift, and not only will I dance bringing it, but I'm going to dance on the way back. I'm going to be happy that I gave it. I'm not going to go back and saying, I wish I hadn't given it. We're going to dance on the way back. It meant something. It said something, the dancing. But that sort of singing and dancing, that's not in my sanctuary. And not in my sanctuary. I want you to know that not in my sanctuary is not a theoretical complaint I made up. I've actually heard people say that. When there is an amen, and we get about two a year, or when there are visiting folks who might want to dance or sway or clap, or someone who just can't contain themselves and with true enthusiasm say, praise God, or thank you, Jesus, if it's real and from the heart. I like it, if it's real and from the heart. I need to say, it's not my sanctuary. It's not your sanctuary. It is God's sanctuary. It is a service rendered unto God. And even if we feel a little bit like McCall, that this unscheduled and unrestrained bits of praise are disgusting, we don't really have a right to judge worship by how it makes us feel. If it's rendered unto God, let's leave that up to God. Those bits of praise are not aimed at you or me. They are sometimes the result of sincere, heartfelt worship and praise with one's entire might, erupting from the deepest, truest, most thankful self and aimed solely at the God who saves, the God who redeems, the God who loves us beyond reason and beyond our darkest sin. God loves you. Can you really sit there in silence? I want to tell you about what almost happened to me once. It's sort of confession time. What almost happened. During a worship service, of all places, while looking at my reflection in the polished cross and holding up the collection plates above the altar at Grambling United Methodist Church several years ago, right there, right then, I don't know why, but I felt something come over me that I had never felt before and have never felt since. It was the deep realization of my sin and the ways I had hurt others, the ways I had let God down, and at the same time, the personal deep truth that God loved me no matter what. All this together. God had forgiven me, redeemed me, saved me from a meaningless and selfish life. And all at once, I felt this joy just about to erupt. Or as we say in South Carolina, the joy was fixing to burst loose. And this, the confession is, I felt so close to true praise, I prayed the oddest and worst prayer anyone could pray. I hadn't felt that kind of way before or since. I said, Lord, no. What'll people think? What'll my colleagues think? How do I explain losing control this way? Lord, I'm a Methodist. I went to Duke. I wanted to feel your Holy Spirit and coming up within me, and I thank you, but I don't want to lose control. I don't want to praise out loud. Don't make me lose control. I can't, not now. I've got a worship service I got to do here. Later realized what a strange prayer that was. I prayed to God not to allow me to interrupt worship with heartfelt praise. How awful that would be. The saddest prayer, a prayer that Michal wished David had prayed, but David did not. David let loose. David danced. He worshiped with all his might, not caring one whit who was watching or what they thought. Now, I don't want you to worry. Let your minds be put at ease. The linen ephod that I ordered from Cokesbury did not come in. They did not have one in stock my size, so... Okay, I'm not going to be doing that. But I did read something that seems just hauntingly germane here. I read about a very famous dance company in New York. Some of you who know about such things will know the Paul Taylor Dance Company. Taylor, the company, is considered one of the most innovative choreographers of all times. Once he ended a show in New York with a dance solo where he just stood motionless on stage for 4 minutes. That's it. He just stood still, not moving a muscle, and he called it a dance. Well, what I really like about that is I read that he got a review in the New York Times the next day. The review of Taylor's motionless dance was 4 column inches of white space. They wrote nothing about nothing. Compare King David's passionate, wholehearted, whole-bodied, unrestrained worship with our worship. We don't do nothing. We do a little better than nothing. But we offer up sometimes almost nothing to the living God who we claim to believe is here and present and worthy of worship and praise. We stand still or sit still and we meekly mumble the words to the hymns, hardly moving a muscle. And there is more than David to point to. What was it that Jesus said again? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Is Jesus encouraging silent, still worship? No. It's not really about dancing. It is about passion and enthusiasm, en theos, filled with God. Are you or aren't you? Have you felt God sometime filling you up and then maybe you did what I have done, prayed that worst prayer, Lord, not now. What would people think? I'm convinced we have all felt times when God was just sending us a spirit of praise, but we said no, no, no. You know, I thought about it. Nothing would shock me more than if I stood up here beginning a worship service sometime and I said, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and you did. That would shock me. Or maybe sometimes some tears. You know, on the other end of that spectrum of emotion, you know, we don't really feel free to be real when we're sad either. I can't let you know that I'm hurt. I can't let you know that I'm not always happy there, that I have fears and regrets and undealt with bitterness. I put on a happy face, nobly hiding my pain, afraid to let you see who I am and the burdens I bear. We seem to have banned deep emotions and joy and pain from worship. I don't know how that happened. But the Apostle Paul said to be church, we should rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and we should weep with those who are weeping. If we don't show it, how can we be church for one another? God is near. We invoke God's presence here. And we know ourselves to deserve nothing good. We haven't earned anything good. But God is near, and we know that God's grace comes with Him because we are still here. And we have not been destroyed by sharp justice. So God's grace is upon us. God is near and deserves worship and praise and passion with our hearts and minds and souls. Even if every cultural fiber of our being says, I don't like that, it isn't about us. It isn't about me. It is about God, the God who is, the God who saves, the God who forgives, the God who redeems, the God who knows I am a sinner and still loves me. That God is the God that David knew, the God that Jesus made known, the God who deserves worship. And so our spiritual life and praise is not something that we should ever put on hold. You know, David did not wait until life was calm and peaceful and wait until he could find some isolated and private place, until his wife thought it was appropriate. David just danced. Now, Christian worship should be a daily and weekly reenactment of the passion of Jesus Christ. Now, when we say passion, we usually talk about the cross itself and his death there, but I mean the entire passion. Jesus' passion for the lost. Jesus' passion for those caught in sin and about to be stoned. You know the stories. Jesus' passion is grieving for the hungry, his weeping with those who wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus' passion for the hopeless. And the faithful widow who gave all that she had and trusted God to live the next day on nothing. Jesus' passion for each of us as he was nailed to the cross and prayed from that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That entire passion is the heart of worship. Reveals that we know who God is and who we are. And we feel the urge to fall upon our knees and praise God because of what we know. And so let us praise God, not just here, but everywhere. Let us sing out the songs when we sing together. Let us know one another, pay attention to one another, and support one another. Let us dance and praise and worship out loud here and every day. And when we feel God's Spirit urging us to praise, take the governor off and praise. I was going to keep preaching until somebody said something. Now let us sing together hymn number 261. this benediction, a blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the comfort, the wisdom, the guidance, and the courage, even in this moment, through God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you.